Failure passage in John chapter 14, starting in the first verse, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That is our passage on our heart today. In a recent view research poll, it was found that yearly 75% of U.S. citizens believe in heaven, but one of the stranger things also noted in the poll said that of those that consider themselves non-religious, talking about atheists and agnostics and nothing in particular, the poll said that 37% of those believed in some type of heaven. Isn't that odd? People that say they don't believe in God, they are some that have no kind of religious affiliation. 37% say they believe in some type of a heaven. We can ask the question, why is it that way? What is it that causes people to believe something like that. I believe it's because that God has placed in the DNA of every individual. They believe that there is something beyond this life. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, Solomon says that he, talking about God, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart. That Hebrew word, world, it is a word that means eternity or continuing existence. The idea is that God has placed something within the heart of man that there is a longing down inside that there's gotta be something beyond this life. All major religious groups have some type of belief in the afterlife. Whether it's Buddhism or Hinduism, that believes in what they call Nirvana. Even Islam talks about the place of heaven where sensual desires are satisfied. Jehovah Witnesses, orphans, they all have an idea about heaven. But if we really want to know the truth about heaven, our authority is the Word of God. If you want to know what heaven is like, we ought to go to somebody that knows. Then we find in our text a place that Jesus talks about heaven. I'd like to preach for a little while with God's help on what Jesus taught about heaven. In this passage, Jesus in the upper room, just before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus gives to the disciples some of the most encouraging and comforting words about heaven. I'd like to, first of all, say something about the relevance of heaven. For many, thoughts about heaven are that just a ho-ho kind of thing. I believe that a vast majority of people asked about heaven, they would say, as I mentioned a while ago, 75% say they believe. But if you'd ask them, they would say, well, yeah, I believe there is something there. How heaven. Ask them, to you, are you going to heaven? I believe he and he would say, well, I hope so. I really, I'm hoping to get there. But what Jesus teaches here isn't a hope so knowledge, but a goes hope. The knowledge of heaven. Jesus is teaching the disciples that we ought to know that we're going to heaven. But he tells them how that we'll get there. So he is talking about the relevance of heaven. Jesus is talking to them in the upper room. As he is there, he has told them some hard things. Jesus said, I'm going away. And where I'm going, you can't come by now. And he tells them that one of the 12 will betray him. And then says that before the cock crows, Peter will deny him. All of those things troubled their hearts. So much so that Jesus says to them, let not your heart be troubled. And he goes on to teach them. Jesus realized that their hearts were heavy and troubled. Their thoughts about what will happen next. Thoughts about what do we do when Jesus is gone. What will happen to us? What about our future? Will they come after us? All of those things were in their minds. And Jesus interest in that. We realize that those are troubling thoughts that we all have. Oh God, what are we going to face tomorrow? Oh Lord, what about our future? Oh, what about sickness? What about trials and troubles of life? What about the brevity of life itself? We never know when the sun rises, what'll happen before it sets. Just the other day, I was leaving the house, and him thinking about all of this, I started out the door, and I had the thought, possibly one of these days, I may walk out that door for the last time. I might walk out and think I'm just going to town. I'll be back, but never get back. They tell us that every second two people die. That is 120 every minute. That is, they say, if we figure it all out, about 10,000 people die every hour. The times we've been here in this earth, somewhere 10,000 people have died. In some honey, the psalmist has the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, then is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So he said, so teach us to temper our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Realize that what the psalmist said was a fact that everybody gets 70 years. But it is a principle. The idea is every lifespan maybe about 70 or so years. But here is what he is saving power. Days are numbered. I don't know how many I have. I don't know how many that you'll have. But time flies. And one day it'll be our day to leave this world. Sat down in my mom's just the other day. First part of the week, she was in the hospital a couple of days. I went down to her house on Thursday and about a month, mom will turn 95. But we were talking. She made the statement, time sure does fly. At nearly 95, she says, time sure does fly. And it does. And Jesus knows that, realizes that. So, whether we have 50, 60, 70, 90, 25, whatever, we better know the truth about heaven. That's what Jesus says. Can't leave it to chance. Can't leave it to hope. Can't leave the thoughts about heaven to I hope to get there. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Go to him, cometh unto the Father, but now be. I want to say something to you. I don't know any heart but mine. I can say, I believe you are probably ready. I can say, I believe you are probably child of God from what you say. But I really don't know. That's between you and God alone. But I say you better know. You better have it settled. Better know in your heart. I'm ready. Because our days are numbered. We have a certain amount of days, and I don't know how many. So we see the relevance of heaven. But secondly, notice the reality of heaven. The choir sung a while ago, heaven is real. How do we know that? How can we be sure? In our text, Jesus Here says a particular word twice. Jesus has going to prepare a place for you. And then he said, if I go and prepare a place, that word place is the Greek word topos. It is the Greek word that our word topography comes from. Topography is the detailed or precise position of a place. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place, Jesus was saying, it's a real place. It is a particular place. He tells the disciples, there is a particular place I am going to prepare. Jesus says, heaven's real. Heaven's real. But the question may come up. Somebody may ask, well, if heaven is real, where is it? Well, I can help you on that. Let's just look at a couple of verses. John chapter 12, the last part of verse 41. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Jesus is talking to the Father. Bible said he lifted up his eyes. John chapter 17, the first verse. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, again, Jesus lifts his eyes up to heaven, it says. Praise. In Acts, the first chapter, verse number 9, and when they had, she had spoken these things, what they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, the Bible said two angels spoke to them. Acts chapter 5, or excuse me, chapter 7, I believe it is, verse 55. Stephen was stoned, and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly, up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, set on that to say this. There's a lot about heaven we may not know, but the Bible teaches us somewhere above the stars, beyond what we see, there is a place called heaven. I don't know where it might be beyond the stars, but it's up there just as sure as we are in this place. There's a heaven in the beyond the stars. Jesus called it here my Father's house. There's a lot of terms in the Bible for heaven. There is a time that it's called a paradise. Sometimes a garden. It's called a city, country, kingdom, tabernacle, temple, even at times been called Mount Zion. But there is just something about this phrase touches our hearts. When Jesus said, in my Father's house, that means it is the residence of God. That is where the Father abides. I think about the Father's house, that it is a home for family. How often think about that little white house I grew up in. There wasn't just a handful of rooms. That little house, that was home. That was our earthly Father's house. Had a place. That was home. Place of rest. Place of security. Place of refuge from all that was around in this world. I could go home and all was okay. I could go home and family was there. That was home. I believe that's what Jesus is trying to teach the disciples and us. There's a place, and it's the Father's house. Because the Father is there. Do you realize that's what's going to make heaven heaven? It isn't who we are, but who He is. It isn't what we've done, but what He's done. around the throne of God. He is worshipped as Creator and Redeemer. John said, I heard him over there saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. He said, for Him and by Him were all things created. He created it all. But He said, He heard Him saying, and Thou hast redeemed us to God. That is our worship in heaven. Praising Him. Honoring Him. That sits on the throne. But Jesus said, in My Father's house are many mansions. I mentioned this last week. There's a lot of ideas about that, and I just like that term mansions. But the word, I understand, the word mansions, it means abiding places. In My Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. I think to help us understand this, helps to understand Jesus' hay. In that hay, in hay, man and woman were married, started a family as their children. God married. They just had it an abiding place to the house. As the family grew, they just keep adding more and more abiding places. Family got bigger and bigger. The home would grow. I believe Jesus is describing a place that has plenty of room for all that'll come. We think about the size of the city of God. John says in Revelation that an angel measured the city. I'll not go into all that he said, but he said it lies 4 square. And it measures out to 1,500 miles in every direction. That would also mean it's 1,500 miles high, the city of God. They tell us that if you took that, placed it on a map of the United States, it would stretch from Canada to Mexico, from the Appalachian Mountains to California. Such a vast place. Somebody it would be. Somebody calculated. Had fast area. And said just the square footage of a single level would be 2,250,000 square miles. But there's a lot of people, and I'm one that kind of believes this, that there's probably going to be more than one level. I mean, why would God make something 1,500 miles? But they did a little calculation on all that. It has been estimated since creation there have been somewhere around 100 billion people that's ever lived on earth since creation. If that is so, and all of them, and we know that not all of them will or would, but if all of them went to heaven, there'd still be plenty of room for everybody. I want to tell you, my father's house is a big house. Plenty of room for all God's children. I don't know, maybe the Lord will let me sit over in that in Revelation in time with you. But I believe that according to what he says, after the great white throne judgment, he says there's a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth are no more. John said, I saw the city of God, the new Jerusalem, that four square city. John said, I saw it coming down from God out of heaven. And it'll come and it'll rest on the new earth. I don't know what all is going to take place on a new earth. I can't help but believe that God will make a new earth a lot like the original creation. I don't know what all we may do. Revelation says we'll serve him. Some capacity, we'll serve him. But I want to tell you, we're going to have glorified bodies. I read somebody explain kind of like this. Said that at a speed of thought, we can be wherever. That's how Jesus' body was. Why, he could just show up. We'll have a body like his, glorified. Somebody said that all of a sudden we'll hear praise break out in the New Jerusalem around the throne of God. They'll be crying worthy. He'll sound out all over it. And we'll say, let's go to worship. Let's go see the Savior. Let's honor him Worship him. Preacher, that's just imagination. Maybe so. But I believe it'll be even far greater than anything we can imagine. What a time when we gather in the Father's house. Don't have time to go into it. But Jesus gives them the reassurance of heaven. Thomas asked him, said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I go away, preparing your place in my Father's house, where it's all going to be. Jesus said, let that comfort your troubled hearts. Let that give you faith for the future. Let that give you strength to keep pressing on. Let that give you what you need to not worry about the world. This world's a scary place, isn't it? If we let it be. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be agitated, troubled. In the Father's house, things are going to be well. I'm going to prepare it. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Preacher, when's it coming? I don't know. I believe we ought to live rapture ready. I believe we ought to live every day saying, Lord, you may come today. I want to be ready. He is the way. Not a way. Not a good way. But he's the only way to get there. How do I know there's a heaven? Because Jesus said there was. How do I know it's real? Because he said it was real. How do I know I'm going there? Because it said I could. By the blood of the Lamb. I'm going there. I don't know what it'll all be. I've shared some things that I've read others say and kind of sparks your thinking a little bit. But I believe this be far greater than anything we could ever imagine. I'm closing, Brother Kevin, getting ready to sing. Preacher R.G. Lee pastored Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for years. He had taught up in years, and it was about crossing time for Dr. Lee. He said for two of his closest friends, Preacher Adrian Rogers and Billy Graham, they came and stood by his bedside. Brother Lee, Dr. Lee, pushed him close. He said, I've seen a little bit over there. And he said, I never did do it justice trying to describe it. I want to tell you, the greatest words we have in our vocabulary, we'll never do justice to what God's waiting over there. Don't miss it. If you don't know it, today's the day to give your heart to Him. While we stand, listen to Him today.